Good morning, brothers and sisters. Every Advent, the Church gives us the words of St. John the Baptist. Appropriately so, as the precursor to the Lord, he was the one sent by the Holy Spirit to prepare the way, so that the people would be ready for Christ when he was revealed to them. They would be ready for their salvation. And what is the single message that John gives? Repent. Repent. And it's really that simple. If you want Christ to be more deeply in your life, if you want to prepare the way for him to come into your heart, the key, as John rightly says, is repentance. In fact, it's the only way to prepare a path for the Lord. Because sin is the only thing keeping you separated from Christ. That's why all of the Israelites were coming out to John. They realized the truthfulness of his words, and they repented of their sins, and he baptized them. Of course, it was the baptism of John, not the baptism of Jesus. Sadly, there are still many Catholics, or many who call themselves Catholic, who don't accept this most basic Christian teaching of repentance. Many think that the sacrament of confession or reconciliation is not necessary for repentance. You can just go to God in your heart, just confess your sins in your heart, and that's good enough. That is not what the Scriptures teach. The Scriptures tell us to confess our sins to one another. And then after the resurrection from the dead, Jesus says to his apostles that they have now the power, his power, to forgive sins and to refuse forgiveness. And so for 2,000 years, we've always had this great sacrament. For the unbaptized, of course, the sacrament of baptism is its own act of repentance. So for anyone who is being baptized, all of their previous sins are forgiven. But for somebody who has already become a member of the body of Christ, the Lord has given us another sacrament of repentance, confession. And it is essential, the Church clearly teaches, it is essential for the forgiveness of grave or mortal sin. So as a Catholic, my sins cannot be forgiven. I cannot repent of grave sin if I'm not going to confession. And it is a challenging and difficult sacrament. That's why I preach on it so much. It takes a lot of encouragement. But think about the fact that the Church has made it as safe and accessible as possible. We know the clergy are the ones who have to minister the sacrament because they have the power to forgive sins in the name of Christ. Ultimately, it is Christ to whom we are confessing. But it was the Church herself who decided that the sacrament should not be done in public anymore. Did you know it used to be done very publicly? You'd have to come into the body of the Church and confess your sins to the priest in front of everybody. Then he would give you a penance that you would have to do. Church thought, well, okay, that's a little much. But the Scriptures say, confess your sins to one another. Church said, well, we could probably make this a little more merciful. Why don't we make it one-on-one with the priest? And why don't we bind the priest to silence? Originally, that wasn't necessary. That was the Church's decision, to bind the priest to silence. It's called the seal of confession, and it's so serious that I would have to die rather than reveal anyone's sins. Not that I remember anybody's, because you all pretty much confess the same sins. Everybody does. There's only 10 commandments and 7 deadly sins. It's not like you're making up new ones. Once you've heard confessions for a couple of months, you pretty much heard everything. I can't think of a single thing I've never heard, so you're not going to surprise me, and that's true for any priest. But the Church has given us this seal of confession to protect you. And it is right and just, because you're confessing to God, not to everyone else, through the ministry of the priest. One of my brother priests always keeps a little stuffed animal in his confessional with him, so it's a little plush seal. And One time I went to his parish to hear confessions, and I go in there and I see this little stuffed, it wasn't a real seal, you know, it was a stuffed animal like seal. And I'm like, what is this doing in there? And he goes, well, Father, that's the seal of confession. So it's just to remind me. Again, it's not an easy sacrament, but it is a necessary one given to us by our Savior. And if you're ever sure of what you need to repent, if you ever doubt that you may have sins sufficient to repent of, know that you have a responsibility to know the teachings of Christ, because he's the one who tells us what our sins are. He's the one who points out to us virtue and vice. It is he who gave us the commandments. It's he who gives us the Beatitudes. And repentance, like all things, is a process. When you first begin, it's like a child learning to brush their teeth. They're really not going to do a great job. But after some time and practice, you get better at it. And hopefully the older you get, the better you get. It's not always the case, but that's the intention. It may be true that there are some individuals who just aren't aware of any sin in their life, certainly any grave sin. And so you might not need to go to the sacrament of confession as regularly. That's fine. But there's always some type of imperfection. There's always some type of small, venial, or hidden sin in the heart of which we can repent. Even St. John Paul II went to confession every day before he died. He must have had something. I can't imagine it was grave. But ultimately, it's a heart of repentance that prepares the way for the Lord. So even if I don't actually have something in that moment to repent of, if I'm looking just to make sure, Lord, is there anything I've done wrong? Is there any way I've offended you or my neighbor? It's a heart of repentance. And it's not beating yourself up. Right? That's a disorder. You don't want to criticize or be too judgmental upon yourself. It's simply recognize an imperfection and then bring that to the mercy of the Lord. It's a very hopeful thing because you know every time you repent, he will forgive you. People who like to wallow in their imperfections and sins don't realize that that is just pride. People who hold on to past guilt after it's been confessed and forgiven, that is arrogance. It's actually arrogance to do that. If you have a sin from your past that you've already confessed and you still feel bad about it, you need to go to confession and confess pride. Do you know why? Because in your mind and heart, what you are doing, whether you're conscious of it or not, is you're basically saying the blood of Christ is not precious enough to truly wash away my sins. My sin is so great, so powerful, that Jesus' forgiveness really can't heal me. What arrogance, what presumption. If you have come to the Lord, especially in his sacraments, and been forgiven, it's forgiven. It doesn't mean you won't have crosses to bear, ways in which the Lord will ask you to help make up in small ways for your sin. But you're forgiven. Do not undervalue the blood of Christ. But repentance is not a simple act of just saying you're sorry and then someone saying you're forgiven. That's certainly an essential aspect of it. But John points out something very important to us about repentance when he's speaking to the Sadducees and Pharisees. He warns them to produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. So often, individuals, even though they feel bad about their sins and want to hear those words, you're absolved or you're forgiven, they're not doing anything to try to change. They're not producing good fruit. And that is the proof, the evidence of your repentance. And it's not always easy to tell if you are producing good fruit. It's not always obvious. Good fruit is virtue, acts of charity and love. That's basically good fruit. So are you growing in holiness? Are you turning from sin and getting better in some way, or at least making the effort to do so? Most of us would probably say, no, Father. It doesn't seem like I am because I keep going back. But be careful and don't be quick to judge your progress. It can take a long time to grow in virtue. And for us as individuals, it can take a while to recognize that growth. It's easier for someone else to see it. Maybe ask relatives and friends who know you well, do you see any progress in me? Do you see any improvement? They will be able to judge better than you. I shared with many of you before, but when I was in college, I used to do a lot of weightlifting. I've always been a little skinny guy, but I really had this motivation to try to bulk up, so you might not know it, but long ago it was true, and I gave that up a while ago. And I always had this goal to bench press 200 pounds. That was kind of my goal. And I've never even gotten close to 200 pound weight. Like, I'm very small framed. And so that was a lot of weight to bench press for me, but I wanted to do it. So I started off, and I can't remember exactly how much I started benching. It was not even 100 pounds, maybe like 95 pounds. So I just started benching that. And I'm thinking, I'm never gonna get to 200, right? It's just, but I knew I just had to keep trying. So as I, week after week and month after month, kept lifting all these weights, after I got to a point where benching 95 pounds became easy, then the trainer put another 10 pounds on. And suddenly, oh, it felt like I started all over again. Like I had lost strength, and it was now really difficult to do that 105 pounds. But after a while of continual work and effort, it got easier, and then he put on another 10 pounds. And this went for months and months and months. And about a year later, after a year of training, I finally was able to bench my goal. It was an amazing day. I was really, really excited. But it took a lot of work. And each time more weight was added to the bar, I felt like I had weakened again, right? But in fact, that wasn't the case. More weight was simply added. Oftentimes in the spiritual life, that's exactly what happens. You're trying to grow in a particular virtue, and all you see are your failings. That's all you see. And so you're repenting and you're praying and you're trying to grow. And it may start to get a little easier, but then suddenly it gets hard again. And you're like, oh, I was doing so well. Well, for all you know, God added more virtuous weight to your shoulders. For all you know, you have actually improved and grown, but God's not going to let you stop there. He's not going to let you say, well, I'm virtuous enough now. 100 pounds is good enough for me. No, the Lord wants you to carry much more spiritual weight than that. And so he keeps adding to your spiritual burdens. He's trying to strengthen you more and more, and only he knows your max. Only he knows when you're maxed out. So we just have to keep striving and not make judgments based on struggles or even imperfections or failures. Just keep making that effort to bear fruit, because that's really what matters. And Saint Mother Teresa said that quite well. She said, God does not expect you to succeed. He merely expects that you try to continue to make the effort to produce fruit. If you do that, then your repentance is good and valid, and the Lord is pleased, and you will grow. It just takes time and patience. This is really the first stage of the entire Christian life is repentance. And it's getting good at it. It's becoming an expert at repentance. And not just to God, that's first and foremost. Without repenting of our sins to the Lord, we can't receive his forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But we have to daily repent to one another. The subtle and painful ways in which we hurt each other. It's such an underrated virtue, repentance. So pray for that grace. Ask John the Baptist in a particular way to intercede for you. And take the opportunity during this time of Advent to improve on your repentance, so that when we celebrate Christ's birth at Christmas, you'll be ready for him, not only just to enter your home, but to, even more importantly, enter into your heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.